Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Who said, "I think a full, free talk is frequently of great use. We want nothing secret nor underhanded, and for one, I want no association with things that cannot be talked about and will not bear investigation." Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, the founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM.
Well, Bill, that's a quote that I think might come from Franklin D. Roosevelt. What do you think?
Well, I don't think Mr. Roosevelt was alive at the time this statement was made, but it certainly is a real quote from a real person.
Well, what do you think? Is it from one of the Mormon leaders, like one of the presidents?
Well, we could make it a little bit easier since we're having a little fun with this statement. But yes, it comes from one of the first four presidents of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So that narrows it down from the 16 to 4. And so it either has to be Joseph Smith, Brigham Young, John Taylor, the third president of the Mormon Church, or Wilford Woodruff, the fourth president of the Mormon Church.
Well, now you're talking, because in school we would give multiple choice questions, and you can always eliminate one or two and maybe come down to choosing between two. So let's see if our audience at the end of the show will be able to figure out which of the four presidents that quote comes from.
At least they can make an intelligent guess.
Well, Bill, let me ask you about your book that this quote comes from. It's In Their Own Words, A Collection of Mormon Quotations. Now, this is a book that you put together a few years ago, and the purpose of this show is for us to find out a little bit more about how this book came about and how people can actually use this book. So first, tell us a little bit, where did the genesis of this idea come from?
For years, we have had a column titled, "Did They Really Say That?"
Uh-huh.
And of course, that title alone makes it appear like, is this for real? Are we just making this up? And it's kind of funny because a lot of people, especially those in the Mormon Church, often do think we make up some of these statements when we don't. Well, anyway, this column that we had in our newsletter, I had been putting these quotations in every issue. After several years of doing that, I had this huge file of quotations.
Now, we should point out, not just a file, you had an electronic file you kept adding to over the years.
Oh, yeah. Whenever I would include a new one in this particular column, I would include it with the other quotations. And then one day I thought, wow, these are just sitting here really doing nothing now. They've had their little 15 seconds of fame in Mormonism research. How can we use these quotations and maybe help somebody better understand what Mormonism teaches on a given topic? And so what I did is I went through that huge document file that I had, and I put the various quotes into categories, like the Aaronic priesthood or Adam, sections like that, so that it would be easy for a person to go to the particular topic and see what Mormon leaders have actually said, to see what church manuals have perhaps said on this given topic, or even in some cases what some BYU professors might have said about it. And in a few cases, we even have statements from lay members in the Mormon Church who have made a comment and it found its way, let's say, into the Deseret News or the Salt Lake Tribune. The reason I put those kind of comments in there, not trying at all to imply that the statement from a lay member of the church is authoritative, but merely to give the reader an idea that this particular view being shared by this person is what Mormons really do believe, oftentimes, when it comes to a subject like this. But please don't try to get the idea that I was trying to say that a statement from a BYU professor or a lay member of the church is somehow authoritative, because that's not at all what I was trying to do.
Okay, so what you've done is you've taken dozens of different topics, related to Mormonism. You've taken the best quotes that you've used, and I watched you over the years turn a little tiny document into literally, I think, hundreds of pages, and then you put them together. Let's talk about how you organized it. I have the book open right now to page 235, and under polygamy, you start off with standard work quotations. Why did you start off with standard works?
The reason why we started off with the standard works is because no Mormon that I know of who is a faithful Latter-day Saint would discount something that is in the actual written scripture that Mormons have. And of course, that's either the Bible, the Book of Mormon, Doctrine and Covenants, or Pearl of Great Price. I didn't include the topic of the Bible. I just felt that that would just take up so much room and it really wouldn't have the impact that I was trying to make in this book. I wanted to show really verses that are unique to Mormonism. Now, that does not mean that I don't sometimes include statements from the inspired version of the Bible, the Joseph Smith translation, because Joseph Smith did go through the Bible and alter it wherever he felt necessary. He didn't have an ancient language manuscript to go from. He merely opens up a King James Bible and starts making alterations wherever he wants to. And so sometimes I do include some statements from the Joseph Smith translation, quote unquote, or the inspired version, just to show that either it does read the same, surprisingly, as the King James or our modern versions, or in some cases it actually reads differently.
And then after you use the standard works, you go into the different presidents. There are a total of 16 presidents and give their quotes and then continue on with general authorities. You give the first presidency quotes if you have any of those.
Right.
Then you move into the apostles. It sounds like from top down is what you're trying to do. The most important quotes coming in the first half of whatever entry we're going to read. But then you're going to give the apostles and the 70s. Mm-hmm. After that, you give church manuals.
Yes. And when we say 70s, I might mention that we tried to stick with the first quorum of the 70, but we do have statements from other 70s and lower quorums or area 70s. They are listed under there as well. Then we go into church manuals. And the reason why I wanted to include church manuals is, of course, as we've said many times on this show, church manuals, at least the modern ones, are correlated or vetted, which means that they have the stamp of approval by the leadership of the Mormon Church. So since we do use a lot of manuals in our writings and on this show, we wanted people to see that they can use these quotations as a trusted source, an authoritative source, if you will, when talking with their LDS acquaintances.
And then at the very end, you give other sources. Now, you were talking about some of those. You're just pulling those out. You're not insinuating at all from what you've just said that those are authoritative, but they're interesting quotes.
They are. And some of them, I think, might have a little more weight than others. For instance, in the category of other sources, I include statements from BYU professors, many of whom have written books, some apologetic in nature. And I think it's good for us as Christians to know what they are saying when it comes to a certain idea. I also included in that category, for instance, the Encyclopedia of Mormonism, which came out in the 1990s. The Encyclopedia of Mormonism was really not an official source for Mormon information, but it was compiled by faithful members of the Mormon Church, and it is often, well, I should say at least sometimes cited in Mormon publications as well. And I think it does give us as outsiders a pretty good understanding of what this particular topic is all about.
Can the reader trust the quotes as they are listed in your book and also in your PDF file?
I would say yes, and this is why. Many of the books that we quote in their own words, I have in my own personal library here at MRM. So it was just a matter of verifying the page number and things like that. So I would go to my own books and I would check them out. We have here at MRM, we have the Journal of Discourses, we have Times and Seasons, we have the History of the Church, both the Documentary History of the Church and Comprehensive History of the Church. We have Doctrines of Salvation. We have a lot of the big names. If it was a book that I wanted to have a quotation from, but I didn't own the resource, I actually went down to the church library in downtown Salt Lake City. I went with a friend from church, Elizabeth, who was a big help with me on this. And both of us spent hours down there at the LDS Church Library and the archives. This was before they opened up the new one across the street, because originally it was in the bottom floor, the main floor of the church administration building. And so we would go in there once a week for several weeks, and I would have all these quotations that I had gathered over the years. And if I could not verify them from my own books, I would take them down there and go through and tediously look them up, look up the page number to make sure it was accurate. Once we could verify it, then we included it. If I could not verify it, I did not put it in there.
Now, I want the listeners to understand we use this book every show practically on Viewpoint on Mormonism. If you want to get your own copy of this electronic PDF version for a donation of any size during the month of April, we're going to be sending you the electronic searchable version of In Their Own Words. All you have to do is go to mrm.org, to our website, click on the donate button on the main page, and just follow the instructions. And we'll get the email off of your PayPal account and send that to you within a week. We will send it to you within a week. We will send you the PDF version of that. Or you can actually write a check to MRM, P.O. Box 1746, Draper, Utah, 84020. That's on our website as well. Just make sure you include your email address, and we would love to get that into your hands so you can use this tool as well.
Yeah, I think the PDF version is a big help because it is searchable, whereas the hard copy, you can't just immediately go to a certain quote that you might remember a few key words. On the searchable version, you type in a few key words, it'll take you right to the quotation, or you can go to the topic heading, and that'll take you to the quotes as well. But you're right, if people would like to get it, actually, from now throughout the month of April, we would love to send you this for a donation of any size to MRM, and they can give that donation through our website at mrm.org.
Well, Bill, who said that quote?
Who was it that said, "I think a full, free talk is frequently of great use. We want nothing secret nor underhanded. And for one, I want no association with things that cannot be talked about and will not bear investigation." That was John Taylor, the third president of the Mormon Church. He made that comment on March 2nd, 1879. You can find it in the Journal of Discourses, Volume 20, page 264.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Would you like to visit the Holy Land? If so, we've got an opportunity for you. Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson from Mormonism Research Ministry will be hosting a trip to Israel and Turkey in February 2015. We start with an optional 7-day trip to Turkey, as we'll see the seven churches of Revelation, including Ephesus, Laodicea, and Pergamum. Then, we head to Israel for 11 days, where we'll see amazing sights such as Caesarea, Upper Galilee, the Dead Sea, and Jerusalem. There'll be a special Joel Kramer Day as we climb up to Cave 1 in Qumran and see some incredible biblical sites. Your price includes airfare, 3- and 4-star hotels, professional guides and bus drivers, buffet meals, and all taxes and tips. To learn more, we invite you to visit mrm.org and click on the Israel icon in the top right-hand corner of the page. Every family who signs up receives a complimentary copy of Joel Kramer's Jericho Unearthed. Again, please visit mrm.org to find out more about this exciting trip. No doubt, an experience that will forever change your life.